This Fifi, Dave, Bev and Byron catch-up is guaranteed to satisfy you. Just like the guaranteed customer satisfaction you'll feel when you score a deal this weekend at Werribee Nissan. Hit werribeenissan.com.au.
Guys, off the back of old mate putting the alarm clock in the wall.
Oh, that was a great story.
Great story.
And I don't understand.
You weren't here. So he had an alarm clock and he was putting some cables through a wall and he wanted to drill in a specific spot. So I said specific. I stuffed up the first time and then I redid it. Sorry. So that's okay. And then he put it on like a fishing line or whatever and hooked it down and he set it for 7:45.
Yeah.
So he'd know exactly where to drill the hole.
Right.
And it fell. So for the last 13 years, it's been going off. And I thought, what a great prank. But he pranked himself. And I thought, being at a footy club, we had some pranks that went wrong really badly.
Because it's dangerous. It's now becoming a dangerous area.
It's a dangerous game to play.
It is, isn't it?
Because if you poke the bear gets angry.
Well, because when we talked about this yesterday, we had the guy that called through that put milk. He was a plasterer and he got annoyed with his client. So he put milk in the wall. And so the new owners of the house went, well, our house smells disgusting. And they had milk rotting in the wall.
Because they didn't pay. So he thought he'd milk them. So I thought, prank's gone wrong. So at the footy club, we had several pranks that we do with the football players. And there was a time where someone lit up a bin and a veranda and it nearly blew the house up. But we won't go there because that's really silly and immature.
Really wrong.
There's always beanbag balls in the car. So when they're at training, you put all the beanbags, they open it up, and they're just everywhere.
They do go everywhere.
And who cleans it up?
Well, the person that has to, whoever owns the car has to clean it up. Good pranks. These are good pranks. I used to always put a cup of Gatorade on, just say it was Mark Murphy, so he's locker number 3.
Yeah.
So I would always be one of the last to leave because I put in heaps of extra work.
Oh.
So I'd put the cup of Gatorade on the top shelf and shut the door so when he opened it, I see how it leaning and go all over him in the morning.
Good gag.
Did he laugh or did he just get annoyed?
Well, I don't know who did it. No one knows who did it.
Oh, look at you.
So it's just like, oh, who did that? Mm. And there was also a good gag where we went into a house. We used to have this fight with the Richmond boys. It was a prank with the Richmond players.
What boys, out of interest?
Oh, just some players.
Okay.
Yeah. So they got us a real good one where they taped our car up with Glad Wrap the whole way around.
And that's old school.
Yeah, old school. They'd stick honey underneath your door handle and then you open it, it would be like bird poo or something like that.
How do you get that bird to poo up there? That's
Dave, time and a place for some good gags, and you can come up with some good ones in a minute because I'm going to give you some good
strap in. Here we go.
Strap in.
Okay, I'm stretching up, buddy.
So we went into their house and we went into their cupboard and we let off all fart gas in their cupboard. So when they came in, it just stunk the house out.
Now, I'm hoping this is canned.
Didn't know you could get that.
Yeah, you know the fart gas.
No?
Oh, yeah.
Well, it comes in an aerosol can. Yeah,
you get it in the show.
Yeah, get it. It stinks.
Never
sprayed it all there, like sprayed all their furniture.
That's harmless because that just
But
goes.
The best one.
Nah,
this
mate,
is the one that went
you
wrong.
You got with tin tin, mate. You don't know what us public school kids get up to. Canned farts, great stuff.
Oh, cans of farts are the best. You know, farts, it's funny. Yeah, the fart game.
Harmless prank.
So the one that did go wrong was we used to often move cars. So a bloke would go out training, we'd take their keys and we'd move their car somewhere in a different spot.
Mm-hmm.
So we took one player one time, we moved his car and we parked it out on the, it's only a 15-minute car park. So we parked it in there. So he's come out, we're all watching outside the windows, he's looking for his car and thinks his car's been stolen.
Mm-hmm.
2 days later, hasn't got his car back. Gets a call from the impoundment. It's been impounded.
Oh.
He had to pay $760 to get it retrieved. Until this day, no one has ever owned up to it. And today, I'm going to say it was me.
No way.
Why would you do that?
Huh?
Are you going to mention the player's name?
Well, no. But he'll know
was
who
it
he is.
Player?
No, it was a Carlton player. So 13:10:60.
Yes.
Pranks that you've taken too far.
I love, like Fev, have you taken a prank too far? This will be very interesting to hear what people do to their friends. But in that 2 days, he's like, where's my car? Did you never
Police
think
are involved.
Fev, you You never.
But I wasn't just. It was a few of us that moved it.
And, oh, okay.
But once you do it, you can't sort of own up to it because.
Well,
it's like,
when he's got no car for 2 days and the poor thing's not sleeping and
well,
he's stressed.
Well, he was all right. He was a stain anyway, so it didn't really.
Oh, please tell me he didn't play in the twos because $760 is about a year's worth of match payments.
Yeah, no. We did a little bit of a hand around to fix it up, so he didn't have to come out of his own pocket.
Okay, there we go.
Which was good.
13, 10, 60.
It was very funny.
I know I was supposed to have a gag here, but that was really sad.
So you called up gag.
Yes, seniority.
Fifi, Dave, Fev, and Byron.
Fev just shared one of his infamous pranks on air. He's finally fessed up to one of his best. But look, pranks can.
Well, it went wrong because, as Fev just said, he did move one of his teammates' cars, and then it got impounded for 2 days, and police were involved.
It cost me cash.
Pranks can go wrong.
It actually cost
$700.
Me
$700. Sometimes
anyway,
they
just worth it.
They backfire. You can take a prank too far. Darren at East Keilor. Hi, Darren.
Hi, how are you going?
You're good, Darren. Have you had a prank and it went a little too far?
Yes, I have.
What happened?
I had two bosses. I put some beanbag stuffing in one of the boss's briefcases. When he opened it, it all fell out. He had a go at the other boss. They had a massive blue, and they dissolved the company there and then.
They dissolved the company!
Darren!
Was it a beanbag company? Was that the problem?
No, actually, it wasn't.
That's amazing. Your little beanbag prank meant the company went under. Oh, that's...
One boss left the company, and the other boss took over the rest of the company.
Oh, wow.
Wow, that is... I mean, that's...
That's gone way too far. Darren, one of the best... We are getting some cracking calls today. That is brilliant.
It puts your prank in perspective.
I love that.
Fev, doesn't it?
Yeah, we'll go to Josh and then I'll end with one.
Well, you reckon yours is better than Josh's?
Hey,
it's pretty good.
Okay. Josh from Narre Warren, what was your prank that went a bit too far?
Basically, when my little brother and my little cousin were sort of 12, 18 months old, I swapped them over.
So how long did that stick?
I did it at lunchtime. And it lasted up until dinner time when Dad couldn't work out why my little cousin, who was supposed to be my brother, wasn't eating his dinner because he's a fussy little kid. And then, I sort of let it slip because I couldn't help but laugh.
Josh, the fact that I kind of thought you'd mentioned babysitter, childcare, minor. The fact that his own, your father didn't know his own son
is
really amazing.
Yeah, exactly. And how did this kid get circumcised this afternoon? What the hell happened?
There was another one goes. That I saved to this. My best mate. Involves my best mate, Ryan Houlihan. So we used to always play gags on each other. And he got me with the old D-Pete and the jocks at training.
Mm.
Not fun.
But, so you put it on the... Yeah.
He put the D-Pete in my bag, in my jocks, in my skins that I used to wear. Going out to train. I felt the burn. It was a deep burn. And I'm like, you prick.
But it's training. It wasn't
it's
a
training.
Game.
So 2 weeks later...
Every clown.
2 weeks later... Old mate over here, best pranks are going around. We're playing against Essendon at the MCG in front of 90,000 Friday night footy. So I thought, perfect opportunity to get this little bugger back.
No.
So I grabbed his skins and I've put deep heat both sides, left and right.
Yeah.
We've run out to do our warm-up, which is about 6:30 before our 7:20 start. And he's running down the wing and I'm running next to him. And I'm like, this is not working. He's going, oh, shit, what's happening to my jocks? I'm burning. And I went, ha, 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 payback.
Really? So you got him?
Got him. 90,000 people. He can get a kick because his gonads were burning. I kicked 8 and said, never mess with me ever again.
Now, just as a side note, Hulls doesn't have any kids, does he?
No, that's not yet.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
Teams, the President of the United States, Mr. Donald Trump, has been snubbed by someone pretty high up. The Queen of England, Fev, has snubbed him. Her Majesty traditionally addresses British Parliament to mention official state visits over the next 2 years, but she intentionally left out the US President. It's amazing.
She's got a bit on.
I know. Well, you're right. She's at an age where she can go, I'm sorry. I'm just a bit dottery.
Imagine Prince Phil and Trump hanging out together.
That'd have fun. That'd be a good night at the casino. But no, clearly she's deliberately left him out. Anyway, Theresa May invited him in Feb, but no date has been set, it appears. But the Queen has kiboshed the invite and given it the big thumbs down. So to talk about the snub, we have the President on the line right now, Mr. Trump. Thank you for joining us.
I'm going to bomb them.
No, you can't. No, Mr. Trump. You can't bomb the United Kingdom. You can't even make that as a joke, in fact. I mean, just because they didn't invite you.
Okay, fine then, Missy. They're banned. That's right. Anything English is no longer used in America.
You know, I mean, you do know that the language that you're speaking is English. I mean, if you ban that, then you can't be talking.
Good. I'm happy with it. Then all those sexual harassment cases will go away.
Mr. Trump, Mr. President, are you feeling a little sensitive about being snubbed? That can't feel good.
Okay, look, I'm going to live it with you. I just don't understand it, okay? I love the Queen. I do. Bohemian Rhapsody, what a song. Holy crap, who thought you would have had that vocal range?
Oh,
unbelievable.
Well, no, that's, you know, obviously, Mr. President. I think she's just wary of meeting you because your diplomacy with other heads of state has been in the nicest possible way. You know, it's interesting.
Why does everyone keep saying that? I mean, seriously. Asking someone to pull your finger, it's a great icebreaker, okay? Plus, ever since that incident with the Japanese Prime Minister, I wear adult diapers because you never can be too careful, right?
Oh, Mr. President, how about I prepare you, I mean, if you ever do meet the Queen? I mean, are you up for this? Can we role play?
Oh, okay, yeah, this will be fun. My safety word is pineapple.
No, that's not what I meant. Imagine I'm the Queen and you're about to meet me, okay?
Uh-huh.
What's the first thing you say when you meet me?
Hey, Missy, nice crown. When did you win Miss Universe? In the 1930s? Dig it!
The president there.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
This is very exciting because we have not had a cast member of The Real Housewives of Sydney on the show yet. And let's be honest, she is the one who made it worth watching, Lisa Oldfield. Thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Now, Lise, we are going to talk about, of course, Dry July, which is something you're very passionate about. We're going to talk to you about that. But we must start because we haven't covered off the series and it's now completed. So much to talk about. One of the things that is quite interesting, considering you are doing Dry July, alcohol played quite an interesting part in some of the fracas and the fights that went down on that show.
In fact, after watching that, my husband accused me of being an alcoholic, and I said to him, I'm not an alcoholic, I'm a soberphobic. But,
there you go. The glass is, well, I was going to say half full, but it seems like it's fully full all the time.
No, believe me, it's empty, baby. But for me too, I had just had major spinal surgery, so signed up for the show, and then literally about 4 weeks before we were starting to film, I lost all feeling in my left arm and thought, oh, I've just got a wry neck. Ended up having to have massive spinal surgery. So I was on the endone with the champagne chasers.
Oh, yes.
So when you're watching the show and like you're seeing it for the first time, I'm seeing it for the first time. A lot of those things I don't even remember.
Yes, don't worry. My body usually goes numb when I drink, so I don't really remember too much. But you gave up drinking for 10 months, lost 20 kilos, which was great.
Yep.
But then you got back on the wagon because you couldn't cope with all the b**s on the show.
They were basic b****s, and the problem is, like, you know, I don't mind like having an out with someone, you know, with a reasonable intellect, but you can't argue with stupid, and you can't reason with morons. So, look, alcohol was my go-to.
Lise, now that I've got you here, because you are known for your fruity language, and I'm a stand-up comedian, so that is my stock and trade. And constantly in interviews, people are always saying, "Can you justify why you use such language?" How do you justify it when people get up and you grill about it?
The thing was, I kept being told by production, "You need to dumb it down, Lisa." So I would sit there and say to Chrissy, "You know, you manacious trollop," and they'd say, "No, you've just lost the audience. Okay, all right, you dumb."
That's better. Yeah, that'll hit the spot.
Right between the eyes. There you go.
She lost me then, but then got me back real quick. I come back real quick.
Yeah, Feb thought that was a destination you go on holiday. I'm not malicious.
Lise, are you, for all Real Housewives fans, can you give us any tips? Are you going back? Have you signed for the next series?
Well, look, I don't know how. Oh, look, I'll give it away. I'll give you guys the scoop because I love you guys.
Yeah.
And besides, our producers are in Sydney, so they won't hear it.
Yeah, they can't hear.
Look, no, there is season two is being planned, but I've also been offered a couple of, there's actually been two production companies that have come to us and want to do an Oldfield reality show. So
I can see that.
David is still umming and ahhing, but I mean, I can find another husband between now and then.
Yeah.
Were you surprised, Lise, that, and I'm a massive fan of the franchise, I watch all of them. Were you surprised that even Bravo, the head of the show over in the US, they thought that you guys went too far? Like you're the show that took it the furthest?
Well, you know that you're really scraping the bottom of the barrel when you're found more offensive than a show where a woman takes off her prosthetic leg and throws it across a table.
Wow.
Your scenes with David were my favourite part of Real Housewives of Sydney. So hopefully you can get this reality show up, please.
Well, the funny thing was that I think David on more than one occasion was referred to as the bitchiest of all the Sydney housewives.
Well, fingers crossed. We want to see this show. Yeah. And also, look, we'll make sure we give this out. You can donate to Lisa Oldfield's page, dryjuly.com/LisaOldfield to get behind a great push from Lisa on this one. And well,
do you know what the trick is? Do you know what the trick though?
Yeah, so you drink and then you donate. Isn't that
a trick?
Trick?
Okay, that's one. dryjuly.com/LisaOldfield. That was great. We hope it's not the last time you join us on the show.
I'd love to be back anytime.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
There's nothing more frustrating than when you lose a love and you go through a breakup and you want your ex back and that you end up in that minefield of what do I do?
Does Stephen know about this?
No. This isn't from personal experience. But I've been in that situation when you want to win someone back and you think, do I stay away because they'll, you know, they miss what's not around? What's that? Let them free. And if they come back, they're yours. That sort of rubbish. Or
so romantic.
Or do you go, no, I'm going in for this. I'm doing a full declaration, I'm skywriting the name, and I'm going to make them go, wow, I want that person back.
I might have to sit out of this phone because this department's I'm not real good at because I bloody nailed it.
I know you did. You are now engaged to your ex-wife. That is one of the best, Fev. Yep. how's this going,
Chuck? Come along for the ride, will I?
This is... It's great when it works. Sometimes it doesn't work.
I wish I could connect with it.
Unfortunately for this guy in China, so he's...
It's always China. What's going on? They're the new Russia, aren't they? Every
Google?
Stupid story's from China
well,
now.
Well, there's about 4 billion people. Statistically, a lot of stories are going to come out of China.
There's going to be enough Muppets.
Thanks for that, that's Bruce McAvaney.
I did say, Fev, I ended up in a Google wormhole yesterday. Well, I did end up in China, and this is a great story because... Well, no, it's not. It's unfortunate. But this poor guy is in China. He wants to get his girlfriend back. University student, and he got 99 watermelons and just put them in front of her on the oval and said, I want you back.
Is that a cultural thing?
What?
No, it's
not. Were
they
filled with vodka?
No, they were just 99 watermelons. It was a massive failure.
I'd reckon.
She didn't want him back. But the good thing is there were lots of people around the Oval because he did it in front of the university and they all walked away with a watermelon.
Yeah, perfect.
So other people won from this gesture.
Sure.
I want to go on red balloons.
She might. Yeah, but you know what, Phil?
No.
Roses.
Oh, yeah. See, then you can sing the song.
Then you can sing the song.
But she may have liked watermelons. Like, there are lots of reasons why he may have got 99 watermelons. But
well,
it's one of those.
101 watermelons.
He gestured to...
No, I didn't do anything.
Anyway, you can't...
No, there weren't Dalmatians on the field.
No. Oh, okay. Anyway, so I think the shame about that is it's a massive fail. And there's it's quite heartbreaking, but often it's a moment of realisation when you do desperately try to win back your ex and you have a massive fail. Mm. And you know what? And I know that anyone who's gone through that and they went through the heartbreak of it and they were in pain and they were suffering... The silver lining is you can now call a radio show and share that story for entertainment.
Epic fails.
That's so
there
so
we
true.
Go. So that's what we're looking for. 131060. How did you fail to win them back? We don't want to hear about the success stories because those people, they're winners. They got their ex back. They're off in Bali having a honeymoon.
That's
we
right.
want when you fail to win them back and the lengths you went to do it.
Share your humiliation with us.
Exactly.
A bit like how Byron over there just try to do a zinger and fail.
I missed it.
Well, we said 101. He's saying 101 Dalmatians.
You started it. I was trying to make sense of all your words.
All right, guys, both of you step aside. Hey, it sounds like that chick had 99 problems and watermelons wasn't one of them.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
We often celebrate the positives in love and people's love lives. It's quite hard to say. Too many L's. But sometimes it's important to focus on the failures too. So we are asking the question, how did you fail to win back your ex? A guy in China, he gave her or laid out in front of her 99 watermelons and didn't work. I mean, he's gone to great lengths there. Very hard to get hold of 99 watermelons, particularly in winter.
Yeah, I'd love to know the reasoning behind that. I would love to get him on.
I know, you'd love to. Well, you,
what's happened here?
We should try to track him down. Yeah, in fact, track him down. One of our producers can find this guy in China. I believe there's a population of 8 million.
A billion.
A billion, you're right. 8 million. Anyway, that is, he's gone to great lengths there, and we have got Alex on the line. Are you there, Alex?
I'm here.
You are there, okay, Alex. Here we Alex, go. You are a very, very brave man, Alex, and thank you for sharing your story with us this morning.
That's okay. It's a brutal one.
Oh, gosh. How did you try to win back your ex?
Okay, so I was in this karaoke bar and my ex walked in, so that's just not a good start.
Oh, no. I can see where this is going. Did it have anything to do with Celine Dion?
No, it no. didn't.
What did you sing?
Better. I Will Always Love You by Whitney Houston.
Oh, Alex. Yeah. And were you looking at her and were you pointing as you sang it?
I was looking at him and...
nearly got it, Fief. Oh, nearly got it.
So close.
It was awful.
It was a 50-50.
I didn't even know the words.
You didn't know the words?
Yeah, I didn't know the words.
That.
And I was so nervous. Oh, there we go. Thank you. You're helping me out. Thank you guys.
Stay. Oh, this would be bringing back horrible memories, Alex.
Yep.
Do you know what, really? Alex? To your credit, though, great sense of humour. Because I'd appreciate that. Even if I didn't want to get back with my ex, I'd go, he's a good, fun guy. That's pretty cool.
Well, also every cloud. Doesn't one of them get shot in the movie at the end of
it? Yeah, so, Kevin Costner.
Well, there you go. Oh, mate, it's not a spoiler. It came out in 1992. If you haven't seen it on your VHS, that horse is bolted.
Thank you for sharing, Alex. Very brave. Jacob in Brunswick. Hey, Jacob.
Yeah, good morning, team. What's going on?
Yeah, well, we're celebrating your humiliation this morning, Jacob. How did you fail miserably to win back your ex?
Yeah, well, me and my ex, we were high school sweethearts. All through high school, we were together. You know, we were that couple that was always going to get married and have babies through high school. Anyway, a little bit hard.
Oh.
Yeah, he's up turbo, mate. then about halfway through VCE, we broke up. It was pretty rough. But by the end, at graduation dinner, I thought it would be a good idea to sort of tell her how much I wanted her back and missed her. And halfway through the speech in front of the whole sort of school, someone came up and told me to get off the stage because she sort of run out a bit upset. And I had to sit down and that was it. Never saw her again after that.
Jacob, you know what? You put your heart on your sleeve and you're great. You know what? You might not have got your girlfriend back, but you are officially possibly my favourite caller this year because you just said to Fev, ease up turbo. I'll never forget that moment on the show.
That's a crack.
Oh, I appreciate it. Anyway. Have a good day, guys.
You too, mate.
You're a great guy.
Poor bugger.
Gift that keeps giving.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
Boys, I don't expect you to remember this, but it was about a month ago and there were photos of Kim Kardashian taken when she was holidaying in Mexico. And they were paparazzi shots. And they were because she wears very skimpy bathers. They're those ones that are, you know, those bikinis at the moment.
Sort of style.
Yeah, they are a bit like that. But this like new trend where your bottom eats the bathers, they just disappear up there like a G-string.
It's like a mankini, but a shorter one, a girl version.
I just don't know right why up the front.
I like a bikini.
Anyway, so her cheeks were out on display and they were picked up and went viral because they looked real. Right. And I know that myself and I would argue many women around the world went, Kim Kardashian's got cellulite. This is the best. And look at it. She's got a wobbly bottom and that's great. And she's apparently the most photographed, richest, most beautiful woman in the world. And it was great. They were actually really affirming. In fact, it was labeled, I've got it in front of me, a social media movement that was encouraging people to embrace their cellulite without shame. Mm. And I remember at the time going, well done, Kim. Yes. Well, she's changed that a little bit because yesterday she was on The View and she was chatting to the girls on The View about, and I'll let Kim explain it herself, that these photos, she believes, were photoshopped to make her look bad.
There's things that push you. I mean, I saw these awful photos of myself when I was on a trip in Mexico and people were photoshopping them and sharpening them, and then the worst photos. I mean, I definitely was not in my best shape. I hadn't worked out in, I think, 12 weeks. I had two surgeries on my uterus. It was this, you know, so I was already not feeling like myself. Yeah. And then when people were like sharpening them and making them look way worse, and then those were going around, I was like, okay.
Oh, what a shame. Like, it was a moment to be real, Kim. It was a moment to say, hey, yeah, guess what? I get bad angles. Because I've got them in front of me. They're just bad angles.
But like, you know what, Kim?
They're fine. She looks great.
She puts herself out there and obviously got famous for certain reasons, but she looks great. She looks natural.
Yeah,
she's a normal person.
On her bum.
She's a normal person. You've never looked better. Look at it and go, normal person.
Exactly. And you
don't
can't
be ashamed.
Both ways.
Don't be ashamed because that's perfect. That's what most people look like.
Exactly. And, you know, it's interesting. I find it interesting that she's now saying they photoshopped her to make her look bad. You can't have it both ways. You can't photoshop yourself like she did on the cover of that paper magazine and the photo that broke the internet, which everyone knew was photoshopped. You can't go, yeah, photoshop me to look amazing. But now you can't complain when you're claiming they're photoshopping
exactly.
to make you look bad.
And the bad thing is that a lot of teenage girls look up to the Kardashians and they'd see that and say, oh, that's okay. Well, they're doing it. I'm not going to be ashamed about my body. But then she comes out and says they airbrushed. No, they didn't airbrush that.
No one airbrushed.
You airbrush other photos, like you said, in front of the magazines. This is natural. It's beautiful.
I don't know that you can airbrush cellulite on. I mean, it's an interesting claim she's made.
No.
She should do a Rebel Wilson and take it to the courts.
I've had a few photos taken in the Ballarat Courier the last couple of weeks for footy, and I reckon they've been airbrushed with cellulite. Don't worry about that.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
I think it's really important that we stop down every now and then and celebrate heroes. And that's what we're going to do right now on the show.
My ears are burning.
I want to talk for a moment about Glenn Rowe. Now, he's a farmer and he saved a Kelpie's life.
I finished getting the sheep in the yards and I shut the gate and I walked over to the motorbike to let Jack off. And I realised that he'd strangled himself and couldn't breathe. So I thought, gee whiz, I've got to try and get him going. So I put my hand over his nose and blew into his nose and did that a few times, and then he started to try to breathe. And I thought, oh, you beauty, this is working, because he's my main man on the farm and it's very important to have a good sheepdog.
We have the plot of Red Dog 3.
He gave mouth to mouth to his pet dog, his Kelpie, to save him. That is a heroic effort. Well done, Glenn Rowe. And you know what? You're fine. It's often in life other people celebrate heroes. You've got to wait till the Herald Sun or until the news, you know, 6 p.m. news highlight a hero. I don't think heroes nominate themselves enough. There's nothing more fun on the radio than on 131060 to get people to call in and tell us why you're a hero. It's got to be firsthand. It's got to be personal.
Both big and small?
Like any form of hero. Just
like when I went to Zumbrero last week and I'd finally gone because I've got one of those, you know, the cards.
Is this a cafe?
Yeah, mate, it's a Mexican.
It's a Mexican. Oh, it's like a burrito.
Takeaway, mate. Oh, there's a loyalty card.
Yeah, it's good.
All right.
And I got to 10.
Wow. Nominate yourself as a hero. Yeah,
anywhere in between those two.
Yeah.
Closer to the resuscitation than that one.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
We're celebrating heroes, the unspoken heroes, with the heroic acts that happen in Melbourne. And we're saying, what is that?
Heroes, David Bowie. Great hero hook.
Anyway, this Wimmera farmer, he brought his Kelpie back to life, gave it CPR. And you know what? I just noticed, actually, I've read the story properly. He rang another radio station to tell them that story, unfortunate.
Wow.
So maybe we won't play his audio again, because that was it was AM band, not the same.
I was going to say, it's probably Radio National. They're not getting Fox FM out there in the middle of Queensland.
I wanted to celebrate Glenn Rowe until I found out that he listens to another radio station, but that's fine. Good on him. Glenn Rowe, what a hero. Saved his Kelpie. We're celebrating heroes. Amber from Werribee, hello.
Hello.
Amber, you are obviously a hero, and it is time to toot your own trumpet.
I'm a bloody legend of a hero. I did this before Farmer Man did. A couple of years ago, I came home and my little Jack Russell was just not feeling well. I scooped him up, and when we were on the way to the vet, he passed out. So same technique. He's borrowed it from me. I put my hand over his snout and gave an almighty blow, and his chest expanded. And when we got him into the vet, he ended up staying in there for 5 days and nights. And they told me that if I didn't do that, and I did it a second later, we would have lost our little buggy boy.
You're amazing, Amber.
I can't believe
Amber
invented CPR.
I know. And
You do feel like, though, that has to be explained to passers-by. It needs CPR. I'm not just snogging my Jack Russell for no reason.
Amber, well done. That's what we're talking about. Don't let your...
Oh, looks like someone's out of breath.
Don't let your heroic deeds go unnoticed. Renee in Greenvale. Hi, Renee.
Hi.
Renee, you are a hero. Now, it is time you let Melbourne know why.
Well, I was partying out on New Year's, last New Year's, and I thought I'd go home to hear my dog. I get home, I see my little stuffy hanging over the balcony, string tied around his neck.
Oh, dear.
He was frothing from the mouth.
This is quite graphic.
Yeah, so we put our hands over his mouth and start to blow in his nose.
CPR this, again?
Yes, and I see... As we see his stomach go up and down, then he came back to life.
Wow. There we go. You were premature with the music then, Byron, because that wasn't didn't necessarily.
Let me guess, the dog came back to life?
Yeah.
Yes.
Great. Yay!
He sure did.
Renee, you are a hero.
Too many frothies for the dog. Frothing at the mouth, wasn't he?
These
are all. Who knew that so much CPR was happening with animals?
This has ended up being a very specific phono, hasn't it? Because we thought it was more just general heroics. It all involves the resuscitation of an animal.
Yes,
so far.
Particularly dogs.
They're our best friends. Well, mate, it's a two-way street, all right? Maybe they should throw some thanks our way. Got to be honest.
Tracy and Berwick. Hi, Trace.
Thank you. One scoop.
Hi.
Trace, out of interest, before we celebrate your heroic deed, were you giving CPR to a dog?
No.
Okay.
A rat.
Oh. A what?
A what?
A rat.
Tell how, what? Okay, you start from the start, Trace. What happened?
I had a pet rat and I was laying down and it bit me on the eye, and out of instinct I just whacked it and it hit the wall and just went still. So I did the same as the other people did, held its nose and blew in its nose, and it just got up and ran away.
And then it had
like a nervous tick ever since, though. Anytime somebody would yell, it would start shaking.
Did that rat turn into Splinter from Teenage Mutant?
I know, and then Michelangelo and Donatello ran out and went, whoa!
Oh, no, me again! That's an extraordinary phone call.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tracy.
You sort of saved it, but you were the problem. I mean, you created the problem.
Yeah. Well, it bit me on the eye.
Well, I suppose, and then you...
Well, I mean,
I don't know where to start. I actually don't know where to start.
Let's be honest. I mean, how many times can you domesticate a rat? Like,
this is true.
Yeah, see what I mean?
Well, I got a bit of feedback from my brother just then. Jason, very prominent on this show.
He is.
I don't like Tracy. Tracy says him, I kill him.
Oh, of course he works at Rent-A-Kill, doesn't he?
Oh, he's good, Jace.
Apparently, Tracy, you really wanted the sting, so... That's for you, Tracy.
Thank you.
No, I got a message that Tracy needed to hear that. Yeah.
Hopefully good on your infected eyelid, Phil.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I will stand by you. Just a beautiful song, isn't it?
That Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron catch-up was probably the best time you've spent today. The best time to get a deal is this weekend at Werribee Nissan. Everything is on sale. Hit werribeenissan.com.au.